Trigger warning. This episode contains content about suicide. If you or a loved one are struggling with suicidal thoughts, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or message the Crisis Text Line at 741-741. Both programs are free and provide confidential support 24/7. Hi, and welcome to this episode of Keep It Positive, Sweetie. I'm Crystal Renee Hazlett, and today I am talking about silencing the shame with Shanti Das.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I can't believe I'm sitting on your couch. I know. I'm so proud of you. I'm like, oh, it's weird for me to like think of you like as this like media personality, actress, and I just know you from like back in the day in Atlanta, and yes. Just to see where God has moved in your life, and it's an honor to be sitting on
your couch.
But I'm so proud of you.
No, thank you so much. And when we were going through a list of people, and I was like, we have to have Shanti Das on.
Aww.
So when I called you, and you were like, absolutely. I was like, she said yes. So, so thank you.
Thank you. I hadn't seen you since our last lunch.
I know.
Which was
yes,
lovely.
Yes, we got to do that again.
Yes, we do.
Yes. When I think of you, I think of, I don't look like what I've been through. Mm. You've been through so much. And a lot of people don't.
I had a cry on the show. Yes. I might need a tissue today. Yes.
Oh, yeah, we have tissue somewhere.
Okay.
We'll grab it if we need it.
Okay.
But a lot of people don't know that you started in the music industry. Like, that's when I met you, you were working in the music industry, and you are a mental health advocate. You are a CEO and founder of Silence of Shame, and you have your own podcast called Mebo,
the Mebo Show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. So make sure you guys check that out. You did 25 years, you had 10 years at Capitol Records, LaFace Records, Columbia Records, Sony Urban Music, and Universal Motown.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Long time.
That's, you gave a lot of your life to the industry.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember in 2009 I moved here, and I worked at the front desk of Divine Stevens' office.
That's when I met you, because that's when I really just come back to Atlanta.
Yep, exactly, yeah. And it was, I always saw you. You were always, everybody came to you. It was like, yeah. And I was like, it's something special about her. But I never knew all the things you had done until later on. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's been a real journey.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm an Atlanta native, so I grew up here. And to come back and be able to work in the entertainment industry and help to really launch the music scene was a real pleasure and honor, a little surreal.
I can imagine.
Because I went to Syracuse University.
Wow.
Way up north. Mm-hmm. Most of my friends, you know, kind of stayed down south, but I just wanted to get away.
Yeah.
And do something different. And when I was at Syracuse, I started like dabbling in radio.
Mm-hmm.
I had a radio show, Graveyard Shift Girl,
two to four
in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was assistant promotions director. And then when I came back to Atlanta the summer of my sophomore year, I got my first internship at Capitol Records.
Wow.
So I was working in the industry in college.
In college?
Going to Jack the Rapper and all the conventions.
What?
Yeah, so I did that for two summers and then graduated in 1993. You can call me Auntie Shanti. yes, I'm 52 and proud of it.
And look good.
Thank you.
Yes.
But I came back and worked at Sony Music for free as an intern, which, you know, if y'all are listening, any up and coming folks want to work in music, sometimes it's okay to work for free to get your foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And so then after that, because I tell people also it's important to keep good relationships.
Yes.
Right? You don't have to like everybody you work with, but try to stay positive and keep the door open, right?
Yeah.
If you need to come back and call on somebody. So the guy that, the gentleman, Mr. Keith Fry, who was my mentor, he started consulting with LaFace. And L.A. Reid was like, yo, we're looking for a promotions director. We need some help. And got the job, $30,000 right out of college. You couldn't tell me nothing.
Nothing. I know that's right. And
so,
working with greats like L.A. Reid.
First record I ever worked was Outkast Players Ball. First record.
Did you even understand how big and monumental?
If you remember, it was on the Christmas album.
Wow.
So, you know, we had a lot of songs. A lot of artists, TLC and Toni Braxton was on the Christmas album. And this song started, like, getting a lot of good feedback from DJs. And L.A. was like, well, and, you know, Dungeon Family, Rico, Ray, and Pat, they were like, we should just make this the first single.
Wow.
And that's kind of how it all kicked off.
That's how it kicked off. And you've worked with Outkast.
I did. I worked with them on all of their albums. I did the marketing, well, the promotions initially, then the marketing for the first four albums of
their
career.
I have to ask you, because I am a huge Outkast fan.
Are you?
Yes.
Ah!
Love Andre. I mean, I love Big Boy and Andre, but Andre just has a piece of my heart. He is just incredible.
Yeah, they both
What
were
was
special.
It like working with them too? Like,
so the funny thing,
history.
Initially, they were just little teenagers that used to get on my last nerve on the road. They
I
would come
imagine.
Knock on my door after we get back from promo runs, and I'm like, y'all need to go to bed. So they were just, you know, regular teenagers.
Yeah.
But I will say, they were hard workers, incredibly creative. You know, a lot of times when you think of the music industry and back in the day, you think of label executives having to like give the artist a direction or a sense of self, or a person's sense of style. You understand styling. But no, it wasn't like that with them. They knew what they wanted to do. They knew who they were. And we just kind of came in to enhance their brilliance and their greatness along with the Dungeon family. And so that's what I loved about them. You know, one of your favorite albums is Aquemini, right?
Yes.
I think I read that.
Yeah.
And so what I loved about Aquemini was it was a real combination of the two of them. So Aquemini stood for Aquarius and Gemini, and that made the word Aquemini. So, you know, Big Boy being the player and Andre being the poet, and it was just like a perfect combination, right? It was a perfect storm for a hip-hop group, and it was just amazing. And I was there the night in 1995. You know, we're celebrating hip-hop 50 and
yes, we
those
are.
Iconic moments in hip-hop. And that night at the Source Awards was when Dre gave that infamous speech, The South Got Something to Say.
Yeah.
And it was myself, their manager, Blue Williams, there, and I was the only girl repping with them that night.
Wow.
And to date, that picture of us, the three of us, is circulated like a gazillion times on social media, and I have to pinch myself sometimes to say I was right there with
you
them.
You were right there in the middle of history.
But they did all the hole-in-the-wall clubs. They had to deal with a lot of criticism from people saying, oh, they're country, we don't like this music.
Wow.
They weren't always accepted, and nor was Southern hip hop.
True.
But, you know, they put the work in, and we did what we had to do to make them, you know, household names.
Yes, I love that. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of artists you worked with, you also worked with Usher, Toni Braxton.
And Usher, boy, is he on fire.
On fire. I still have not gotten to Vegas
to
see him.
You gotta go.
I am.
It's such a good show.
I am. Yeah, I saw that you went.
I did.
Yes,
I
and he shouted you out.
He did. And that was a total surprise. But I was there when we signed him. He was like 15.
Yeah.
Very early on doing all his promo and getting to see his brilliance. Even then, we knew that Usher had the it factor. He's one of the hardest working artists I've ever met.
Wow.
And he always knew, like, what he wanted. Like, he always believed in going hard. Like, no was never an answer for him. He would just figure out a way to yes.
Wow.
Even like, he was very involved in the promo ideas, what he wore, how he wanted to look, just everything.
That's amazing.
Very involved. So it's no surprise to me that he'd be doing the Super Bowl now. It's his time.
Are you gonna go?
I don't know. You know, I don't want to ask somebody for tickets and that sort of thing. If I get, you know, opportunity to find a ticket that is reasonable, yes. If not, I will be cheering on from the sidelines of my house, with, you know, watching it on TV. But I'm so very proud of him and his team.
I love that.
Yeah.
You released a book in 2020 in the middle of the pandemic, Silencing My Shame. And you have built this whole brand around merging the culture and therapy and mental health. What was it that made you say, I need to bridge this gap?
That's a great question. Can I take you back a little bit?
Please, yes.
So a lot of people don't know that my dad died by suicide when I was 7 months old.
Yeah.
And that was hard. By the time I got to be, say, 4 or 5 years old and really understood that my father was deceased and he wasn't coming back, I was really angry. And you know, when you go through the grief process, there are a lot of emotions,
right? Absolutely.
Anger is definitely one of the stages of grief. And so then you add suicide on top of that. It was embarrassing. And so it's interesting. My late sister, we used to talk about how when friends would ask us where our dad was, we'd be like, oh, he died. He had a heart attack, or he had this, or anything other than suicide.
Wow.
And so my mom never went to counseling, never went to therapy, which we know has been an issue sometimes for us in the Black community, is we don't deal with those type of traumas and issues head on when they happen.
Right.
So fast forward, we all kind of dealt with it on our own. And it was my sister, Anjali Maria Das Arnold, who broke the cycle and put herself into therapy in college.
Wow.
And this is like the late 80s, early 90s.
When it wasn't even like popular.
No, nobody was really talking about it. So fast forward, after I left LaFace and moved up to New York City, it was the first time I was working in a more corporate environment. at one of the larger labels there, and I was in a kind of a toxic environment at the time. My boss was yelling and cursing all the time, and I just wasn't used to that. And so once I started dealing with adversity in the workplace, I didn't know how to deal with my emotional side of things. And so it started bringing back a lot of the feelings of my dad and different things. And so that was the first time I had ever said, maybe I should just kill myself.
Wow.
That was in 2000. So that was 23 years ago. And it scared me because I knew that there was something in the back of my head that always said, well, when the going got tough, would that be something I would consider?
Wow.
So I went to therapy for the first time in my early 30s and went for about 3 or 4 months. And it was okay. And I kind of jumped back into my work. I think it was my ego. I was like, oh, you know, I'm okay. I don't really need to see a therapist that long. So I just started doing what I did best. And I had some amazing times in New York doing the marketing for Prince for his Musicology album, which was
I literally was
on tour at Prince. I have to like pinch myself.
Right.
So, you know, on tour at Prince was really amazing. So I had some good times in New York. But then I think I was still not dealing with my emotions properly like I should have. And so, you know how now in the workplace there are resources around mental health, or you can talk to the HR department. I didn't do any of that or really didn't know about any of those resources. So I was internalizing a lot of my stress. So by the time I had gotten to Universal Motown, girl, I was making almost $500,000 a year, corner office, Range Rover, all the stuff that we think we need and want, but still not addressing my health concerns.
Right.
And I say health concerns because sometimes people put mental health in a box. It's still our health. We have mental health and we have physical health, right? And so, long story short, I was taking naps at like 1 o'clock in the middle of the day. That's not like me. Now, you know me.
Yeah, listen.
And my work ethic.
You're a go-getter.
Type A personality, go-getter. So, when I started noticing that, I was like, things just aren't really right. And so, I remember one day I was in a taxi going to a meeting riding uptown in New York City, and my whole right side went numb. Like, I couldn't feel my hands, my arms, my legs. So, it scared me to death. Started taking all these tests, went to the doctor and had all these like CT scans and MRIs done. And I got diagnosed with what was called cervical spinal stenosis. And it's a, it's directly related to the stress in your body. And my sister was like, this ain't it. You need to rethink what's going on. And I thought I had to have surgery on my spine and my back. And so shout out to Sylvia Roan, who was, love you Sylvia, who was my boss at the time. And she was like, well, let's figure it out if you need to do surgery. But my sister was like, you're killing yourself. Like you're just not healthy. And so I made the tough decision and I walked away and came back home. And that's when I met you. In like probably late 2009, early 2010. And then I came back home and started doing a lot of community service work. Because I, of course, I was depressed from walking away from a huge career. Because I probably could have kept going and maybe would have become general manager of a label or president or managed artist or whatever. So it was, can you imagine what it was like walking away from something you had done your whole life and worked so hard for? But I started doing a lot of community work in Atlanta, feeding the homeless, working with the United Way. God was just moving me to like do something different. And who knew that he would set me up, you know, for the greatest assignment that I had ever had. But it didn't come without difficulties. So the first few years I was home, I started doing some consulting, started consulting with Divine Stevens at Upfront Entertainment. I started working with Johnny Gill and Kelly Price. And I started ATL Live on the Park.
That, I used to go to that.
Yeah. It was like the hottest showcase in Atlanta.
It was so much fun.
So that was good. We had a 10-year run. But again, I'm doing, I'm just doing. I'm going, I'm going, I'm doing. But I'm not looking internal. I never stopped to look within. So 2014 came, and I remember I was going on vacation to visit a family friend in Switzerland, and I was about to board the plane, and my best friend had called me, and she said, hey, have you gotten on the plane yet? And I said, no, what's going on? She said, oh my gosh, it's the worst day of my life. And I said, okay, hold on, let's figure it out. I know she was dealing with some physical health issues, which caused some mental health issues. And so I talked to her for about 20 minutes, and I said, while I'm on the plane, I'm going to have you text my sister so we can try to find you a new therapist, and I'm gonna also try to find you another medical doctor to help with the situation we're dealing with. Long story short, I land, drop my bags, go to lunch with my bonus sister over there, and got a call that she had shot herself.
What?
When I tell you that that was one of the worst days of my life, mm-hmm. I had to immediately find a flight back to America. Mm-hmm. By the time I got back and got to Grady, she was on life support. Mm. And she passed. And so that year was a really dark year for me. Even though I was still working, I was so depressed and trying to figure out, like, going back to retrace that phone call.
Yes.
What did I miss? Mm-hmm. So I was kind of blaming myself, which I know we're not supposed to, but we're human. Mm-hmm. And so I just blamed myself. And that sent me in a downward spiral. And it's funny, I tell this story all the time because I speak all around the world now sharing my story, trying to be vulnerable and help others. But I almost took my own life in September of 2015. I had gotten to a point where between my best friend's suicide, my father's suicide, walking away from my career, and I'm an open book. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have gone from having a lot of money to no money.
Yep.
I walked away from it all.
You did.
And so that nest egg went away. Mm-hmm. And you know how when you consult with artists, some months are better than others. So I almost lost my home twice. Mm. And I was like, okay, God, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I think I'm done. I have done all that I think I could do here. I've worked with some of the best artists. And more importantly, I just needed that pain to go away.
Yeah.
Crystal, I didn't want to die.
Right. I just wanted the pain to stop.
But I didn't know what else to do. And so I counted up all the pills in my cabinet. And I knew that had I stayed in my house that night, I was going to take them.
Yeah.
And so I got out and just started driving around town. And God makes no mistakes. He placed one of my friends in my pathway that night. Way on the other side of town.
Wow.
I'm like, what are you doing on this side of town? But she knew something wasn't right. Mm-hmm. I was trying to make a joke of it, but she was like, mm-mm. What's going on? Something's not right. And so I called my sister who was living in Charlotte at the time, and she convinced me to call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-TALK. But now you can call 988 if you're in crisis. And then I texted my pastor, Dr. Warnock, who is now Senator Warnock.
Yes,
because I'm a member of Ebenezer. And he was like, you got to go to the doctor.
Yes.
He said, I'll pray with you.
But you need to go to the doctor.
You need to get some help.
Yeah.
So I got the help that I needed. Wow. Went to see a psychiatrist and started on my antidepressants. First time I was ever on antidepressants. And it helped.
Mm.
And so I came up with the hashtag Silence of Shame.
Yeah.
And that's how it really all started, as a hashtag. And I know I probably went a long way around.
No, they need to hear this.
I wanted everybody to know, like, this is a journey.
Yeah.
It wasn't like me jumping on a bandwagon or trying to do something. I mean, I was talking about these issues in 2015 before a lot of people in our community were comfortable with opening up, you know, to share, at least people in the music space, right, in our circle.
Right, yeah.
So then it turned into a nonprofit and
we've
been hopefully saving lives ever since.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what was that healing process like for you when you finally said, okay, I'm gonna go get help?
It was emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I was dealing with a lot of unresolved trauma about my dad and thinking something was wrong with me anyway, even though I was this high achiever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of late nights and tearful nights. Yeah. But it was a sense of relief.
Mm.
And I was like, goodness, you know, is this what I should have done or we as a family should have done years ago? And again, I have to credit my sister and thank her for just always pushing me to be my best self and to get the help that we need. Like anybody that has sisters, y'all got sisters out there, hold on to them.
Yes.
They're the best thing ever. And it was just really tough. But then as things were going great with Silence to Shame, you know, so we started our first probably PSA in 2016.
Okay.
And we started doing a lot of like community work with organizations like Jack and Jill of America and other groups. And then in 2019, I felt like my world stopped.
Mm.
My sister passed away.
Mm. Yeah, we talked, yeah.
Unexpectedly, from a blood clot. Mm. And she had gone back to get her degree in counseling.
Wow, she was really passionate.
She was very passionate because we also have another family member that suffers. And so she was dedicated. And so we were going to be like these warriors in mental health together.
Yeah.
And she was about to start her own practice. And so that, you talk about the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was doing so good. But then when that happened, that was a real setback for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times, if anyone has ever lost anybody close to them, it was a worst day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times where I felt like I couldn't even feel my, like it was almost as if like my chest was caving in. Mm-hmm. And so it set me back so much, and I was trying not to become deeply depressed again. And I finally, like maybe 5 months in, went to grief counseling. It was an organization called griefshare.org, mm-hmm. which was kind of from a Christian perspective. So it really helped me a lot because I leaned heavily on my faith, yeah. even though I had a lot of questions about mm-hmm. why it had happened. And so I knew that I had started this powerful movement and I couldn't give up, but I still had to, it was almost like starting the healing process over yeah. again. And then I also had become my mom's sole caregiver because mm-hmm. my mother had Alzheimer's. And I just lost her, yeah. you know, in 2022. So it's been a lot.
Yes.
It's been a lot. But I'm still here, and I serve a really good God. And it,
yes.
every day I thank him for his grace, mercy, and favor over my life.
Yeah.
Because I know every day is not going to be a good day. Mm-hmm. But I'm equipped with the tools between Silence the Shame and all the resources that we have, and then everything that I've learned as a child of God, knowing that, you know, he's going to take care of us either way.
Yeah.
He's going to see us through the storm, or he's going to be with us on those great days mm-hmm. and allow us to bask in all the blessings of his glory. So
absolutely.
I live my life one day at a time now, Crystal. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. life be lifing, as yes. we say. And, you know, as I get older and started dealing with more just different things in life, I just try to be more present mm-hmm. for my friends, for for my family members, yeah. you know, I'm trying to be more present, you know, as a leader, mm-hmm. you know, running this nonprofit, and just, you know, try to help share and heal. Yeah. There's so much darkness in the world. That's what I love about you, and I love about this show, and you, the name of it being Keep It Positive, because mm-hmm. there's so many people dealing with a lot of negative things out there.
Yes.
Whether it's from a gossip perspective mm-hmm. or hating on other cultures and different things that we're experiencing, the world needs more, keep it positive,
yes.
right? The world yeah. needs more light. Mm-hmm. And I just want to be a light in health and yeah. culture
yeah.
and just try to help people be their best selves mm-hmm. mentally and physically.
Yeah, I love that.
And I feel like it really is an assignment from God, because he'll take you way down in the valley. Oof. But if you trust him, he'll pull you back up in yes. ways that you could have never imagined. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm on my way back up from the valley.
I love that is so good. You spoke about leaning on your faith, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of times Christians, we feel like we don't need therapy because we have God, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm good. But it's okay to lean on your faith and still have questions,
yes.
like you said. And I'm happy that people are now leaning into knowing, having the awareness to get help, mm-hmm. you know. And I love how everything you've been through, I still see the light on you.
Thank
how you.
You
can still say, God's bringing me out of this, and still speak positively, because so many people get stuck in that dark place mm-hmm. and it's really hard to dig yourself out of it.
It is, and it's easy to like fall back into the trap. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, even for me, like my mornings, mm-hmm. I try to start my mornings from a place of gratitude. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I try to start my mornings from a place of gratitude, and I have some prayers that I watch on YouTube. But then I might get on Instagram and I'll scroll for a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Let me put this over there.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to get caught up.
Yeah.
In the cycles, and then you get down on yourself, and then you're looking at somebody else's feed going, mm-hmm. well, why don't I have this, or why didn't I get invited to that, or
right.
you know, being a young Black female entrepreneur mm-hmm. And just a person in society now, we're constantly comparing
we
ourselves
are.
To others, and so mm-hmm. I have to feed my own soul and my own spirit,
yeah.
and you know, it's important for us as humans to mm-hmm. have accountability partners, but we also have to encourage ourselves.
We do.
And so
absolutely.
I try to take, again, my mornings to be grateful
mm-hmm.
and to be at one with God
yeah.
and to find my encouragement there first before I go out into the world.
You have to, because this world is crazy. If you don't go out armored,
listen,
you are going to get banged up.
That's right.
That is so true.
So you gotta have your own protection
yes.
and ways of support, and know that, you know what? At the end of the day, like mm-hmm. I feel like, hey, I know my father, my earthly father
yes.
passed away, but I still have a dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God is my father.
That's it.
And he protects me mm-hmm. at all costs.
Yeah, that's so good. As you were going through your depression and mm-hmm. suicidal thoughts, mm-hmm. At what point did those feelings become shame? And what could you tell? Because I know other people feel the shame as well. I felt it.
Yeah.
What would you tell somebody else who may be feeling that?
That's
what
a heavy question.
Yeah.
You know, as I was dealing with my depression and my anxiety and contemplating suicide,
yeah.
I was embarrassed and ashamed to see a Crystal Renee or to see a big boy.
Yeah.
Or to, my brother didn't even know, my blood brother didn't even know I was contemplating suicide. There is so much shame and stigma around mental health and mental illness in this country that it can be smothering at times.
Mm.
And so it was my own ego and my own shame that kept me from really talking a lot about it and getting the help a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe had I silenced my own shame back then and gotten the help sooner, I would not have gotten to the point where I seriously contemplated taking my own life. But I didn't want to walk up in an event and have somebody say, like, oh my God, Shanti's crazy, or, you know.
Right, because that's what people would think. Yeah,
of course. And so, you know, and I'm sure people think it all the time. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time, it was maybe in 2017 or 2018, I had gotten into the Jay-Z brunch, the Rock Nation brunch. And it was the first time I had been around my peers. You know, since everything had happened.
Right.
And even then, I was a little nervous. And, you know, I didn't have, I'm going to get emotional. I don't know why, but people don't, it was hard. It was hard going from being on top to being at the lowest point in your life and having so much complete shame about feelings that are natural and normal. If we would normalize feelings in this country, we wouldn't have the shame and stigma.
Yeah.
But, you know, working in an industry like the entertainment industry, and, you know, it's very aspirational, and everybody's always in their Sunday best outfit and, you know, all that stuff. But I remember being at the Rock Nation brunch feeling less than and feeling like I didn't belong. And it was
But you helped build that.
Oh, I know. But again, it's just, it was at a low point for me. And even walking in then, having overcome a lot of that, people still weren't talking about mental health. This was pre-pandemic.
Yes.
And so it was my friend, John Platt, who helped me get in, who's been a complete blessing in my life. He's a chairman and CEO of Sony Music Publishing, but we go way back. He still saw me, and I appreciated that for him seeing me. But I had so much shame and embarrassment. I didn't want Jay-Z and Beyonce and all of them to know, you know, that here I am, Shanti Das, who was number two under Sylvia Rhone, had worked for Donny Einer, had worked for Prince, had worked for L.A. Reid, was, you know, what they call crazy. I don't think the word crazy should be used at all. And I don't think I was crazy. I just don't think I was able to control my thoughts and emotions, and I just needed some help.
Exactly.
Which now everybody talks about now. But I went through a lot of personal shame.
Yeah.
And again, shame within my own family. I opened up to my sister,
but
very few people in my family really knew what I was going through and knew the story until it started coming out. Because, you know, again, you know, we don't do a good job of giving people enough grace.
We don't.
In this world.
And we don't.
Let me tell y'all something. As my mama used to say, keep on living and you will go through things in life.
Yes.
Well, you wish that you had the grace or that you could bestow grace upon people who need it.
Yes.
Everybody is going through something.
Mm.
We wear these masks on social media. We hide behind these posts and however many amount of characters when all of us are going through something.
Yeah.
And if we would just hold on a minute and try to lead with a little bit more empathy and less sympathy, I don't need you to feel sorry for me. I just need you to understand that my life took a turn and it was tough. But through the grace of God, I got back up on my feet to do something even greater than I thought I ever could. And I, even working in the entertainment industry sometimes, I used to think professing my love for Christ and for the Lord was corny. Nobody really talked about God.
Still don't.
In the business that much. And I know it's like church and state sometimes with business and any company, right? But it was until I went through and hit rock bottom that I was like, no, never will I ever, as I say, never have you ever, never will I ever not say how much I love the Lord.
Same.
And how much he has gotten me through.
I'm with you, yes.
And so it is me flipping that, right, and silencing my shame, leading with grace, and bestowing grace upon people who even have maybe, you know, turned their head to me, you know, or not returned a phone call when I was in the valley. And I try to lead by grace mm-hmm. and create safe spaces for people to be able to open up and be vulnerable, more importantly, to heal.
Yes.
I want people to know that hope is alive mm-hmm. and that healing is always possible.
Yeah.
And you get yourself some good friends around you, some good accountability partners, mm-hmm. some faith friends and spiritual leaders, and just mind your own business and focus yes. one day at a time.
Yes.
And so that's how I was able to silence my shame wow. and to just not worry about what the Joneses were saying mm-hmm. and trying to keep up with everybody.
Yeah.
I just keep up with Shanti Das. That's enough. She got enough going on. Good, bad, and ugly. So if I focus yes. on me and my life, you know, I'm okay now.
Yes.
Now I can walk into those rooms and I know that I shouldn't have held my head low, mm. but I'm human.
Yeah.
But I walk into the rooms now with my head held high.
You do.
Whether I have $5 in my bank account mm-hmm. or $1,000, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, none yep. of that matters. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we can't take any of it with us.
Nope.
So it's about how you treat people while you're here.
Yeah.
And so I am letting God and grace lead me, mm-hmm. and that's enough for me.
I love that.
And that's why I feel like I'm enough now.
Yes, you are. You are. Ugh. So I guess what inspired the shift was really you going through your own.
It was. Yeah, the shift was definitely from, or the shift or pivot, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, was me going through my own troubles, yeah. right? My trials and tribulations. And I always knew that I had a heart for giving because growing up, my mom, mm. we would go to church and we would drive downtown and we would see men living under the bridge. Mm-hmm. And my mom would literally cook for them.
Really?
And we would wow. pack meals.
So you saw that growing up.
And I'm like, you really bringing dinner? Like, she's mm-hmm. like, yeah. And so mm-hmm. my mom had a really good heart.
Yeah.
Like, you know how you have different family members you pull? Like, I got my faith mm-hmm. and my love of giving, mm-hmm. right, and community from my mother. And so, like wow. I mentioned, when I first met you, I started doing so much community service work. Like, even right when I left Motown, mm-hmm. I read about the city of Detroit. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Detroit.
Yes.
I don't really have any connections there, but yeah. the city had lost funding. Mm-hmm. And there were bodies buried in the morgue. People couldn't bury their families for like months because families just couldn't afford it. So the last thing I did before I left New York was I raised like almost $40,000 mm-hmm. or $30,000. And we buried 30 people.
Wow.
Just complete strangers in New York.
Oh my goodness.
And I didn't want nothing from it. I just wanted to give some dignity back,
yes.
you know, to some of these families. And that just struck a nerve in me. And it was the mm-hmm. first time I think I listened to God saying, like, I have bigger plans for you.
Yeah.
It's like the music was one thing, mm-hmm. but he placed me over here so that I could be a servant leader.
Yeah.
And that's when I started understanding what servant leadership was mm-hmm. and what it was to, like, really, like, put others before myself
yeah.
and to try to give back. And so I love that God gave me a heart of service.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing.
That word keeps coming up in episodes when
really?
I talk to people. Yes, service, serving.
Oh, yeah, I love
yeah.
that.
When people ask, like, well, how did you get? They always say, my service and honoring what God has given me.
You have to do that.
Yeah.
What is it? What's the saying? Too much given, much
it's
is required.
Pride. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah.
It's what I love now. And so that pivot and that shift. Mm-hmm. was something that was natural, which I didn't even realize at the
yes.
time, that God would have me in this place now, running a nonprofit
right.
and being a voice. I would like to think of a critical voice in the community mm-hmm. as it relates to wellness for our community.
Yes, for sure. I noticed that during the pandemic is when our culture really mm-hmm. started getting into therapy. Yep. What do you think that shift was?
Well, you know, I tell people the pandemic was the first time I think that we all realized we had mental health. Because people be like, oh, yeah, mental health, that thing.
That
I heard
thing.
That thing called mental health. I'm like, child, we all got mental health.
Yeah.
We may not all have a mental illness.
Mm.
And so mental health is how you think, mm-hmm. how you act, and how you feel,
mm.
right? It's the ability to get up and have the wherewithal to go about our day,
yes.
right? And so in the pandemic, it was like, whoa, what's going on? We can't go outside. Mm-hmm. We can't go to work. Some people are losing, you know, money, mm-hmm. jobs, you losing a sense of family and community. You couldn't go to weddings or funerals. Can
yes.
you imagine not being able to go to a funeral of your loved one?
No.
Or not even being able to have a service,
no.
right? So it stripped that dignity from mm-hmm. us and the isolation
mm-hmm.
more than anything. I think it allowed us to have to sit and mm. deal with our feelings.
I said that too, yeah.
And you got people that are in domestic abuse situations, toxic households and families. Aside from the loving families, it's a lot of people that are in tough situations in their home life. And so people are stressed out beyond belief.
Right.
And then you think about a lot of people that thrive, like being in the space and presence of others. Like you might like to be around people, so you might be a bartender, right?
Yes.
Or in your industry, right? Working on movie sets.
Yeah.
All of that was stripped away.
Yeah.
And so I think it was an extremely scary time. Mm-hmm. So especially for creatives and people like us, girl, we had to sit and be all up in our feelings, as they say, more than we wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And people weren't really, they didn't understand or weren't equipped with some of the tools of how to cope. So that first year, 2020, was tough on everybody.
It was so tough.
And that's why I started interviewing celebrities. Mm-hmm. I started my own little IG live show called Yeah Wellness. And I interviewed everybody from Chuck D to Common to Tisha Campbell.
Wow.
All different folks, Swiss Beats, about mental health.
Yeah.
And, you know, D Nice, shout out to D Nice.
Yes.
Love you, D.
He got us through a lot.
He got us through a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that saying last night, a DJ saved my life, could have never rang truer, true, right?
Right.
But everybody was dealing with their feelings, I think, for the first time. Because I think a lot of times in our community and beyond, we try to compartmentalize our feelings. And we're like, okay, let me place this over here, put this in my pocket, and I'll deal with it later. We couldn't really do that as much in the pandemic. Mm-mm. And then you add what we experienced in terms of racial trauma as a culture. And we saw, you know, what happened with George Floyd. May he rest in peace, and blessings and prayers of comfort to his family. We literally watched the brutality and over again, Ahmaud Arbery, like so many different people. And so there was a lot of trauma on us as a people and as a nation. And so we didn't know how to get through one day to the other. And so the interesting thing is I thought that I wouldn't have a lot to do during the pandemic. And I was busier than I had ever been. I did more webinars and IG lives and talks. And God, again, set me up for that moment, you know, from a mental health perspective, to be able to help heal our culture. And out of that, I was just, you know, so inspired, and my team was so grateful to people like Carrie Hilson, who spoke about her depression for the first time on a Silence of Shame panel, and, you know, CeeLo Green and artists like Big Crit, who did a one-on-one with me talking about what he had experienced with substance abuse. And, you know, so many artists, G Herbo that I talked to, and I even did a talk with Saweetie, you know, during the pandemic. A lot of young and older artists. And it was, I was very humbled to be in that position, but very grateful to be able to assist the community.
That's amazing.
So I feel like people felt like Silence of Shame was a safe place. And I think still is a safe place, because even just earlier this year in May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month, DJ Drama, who we all love, one of the hottest artists and mixtape DJs out there, he spoke publicly for the first time about his addiction. And he's been sober for over a year now, and he waited to have that conversation with me. That's all God.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, allowing me to be vulnerable and transparent and humbling myself so that I can put others first in all that they're dealing with. But I don't think I would have been able to do all of this, again, going back to your question, had I not been in the valley and gone through my own level of trauma and stress. And for people to see me coming out on the other side.
Yes, it's encouraging.
Yeah. And I still have my moments, you know. I still struggle with the grief. I still struggle. Every blue moon, you know, there'll be like a fleeting moment of, am I supposed to still be here? What am I doing? And then I feel like that's just the devil and I have to block it out, or I'll, you know, book a therapy session or travel. I love to travel too, and that is what keeps me sane. But I love the work.
I love that. You talked about all the artists that you spoke with during the pandemic. And now I see a lot of artists, especially rappers, that are speaking out publicly about the importance of therapy. From Jeezy, he just came out with a book and he spoke about how therapy has helped him. He knew he needed it. Jay-Z has talked about it. Kendrick Lamar, Andre has spoken out about it. So many artists and black men. What do you feel like it is about our black men in our community that is making them realize I need to get some help?
That's a great question. And then, you know, shout out to Jeezy, Jay-Z, Andre, Kendrick's whole album was pretty much an ode to therapy.
Literally.
Which I loved. Mm-hmm. You know, Black men, I think, have been taught for years, mm-hmm. right, and centuries to suppress their feelings, yes. and that they always have to be the strong ones, and mm. that they're weak, you know, if they, you know, show signs of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And that can be the farthest thing through, you know, from the truth. Mm-hmm. And so I do think Black men are now at a point, having dealt with so much from racial inequality mm-hmm. and police brutality, that they're now finally getting this sense of, you know what, it's okay not to be okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And those leaders that you mentioned in the culture and in the community coming out saying it's okay to open up and talk to someone. Mm-hmm. And then also I have to credit, you know, our Black women for giving the Black men permission, mm-hmm. you know, to be vulnerable yes. within their own families.
We have to do that.
We have to do that. We got to come together as a collective unit and family, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm not saying, you know, that we dwell on the negativity, but you got to allow the man and the woman each, you know, to deal with their own, you know, vulnerabilities and frustrations. And especially teach our young Black boys that it's okay to be vulnerable. Because suicide rates in the last 3 years have been up for Black youth 36%. And so we're just at a critical point in our country and in our nation so that we allow and empower our Black men to be able to tell their truths and tell their stories. Mm-hmm. I have to also applaud Dr. King J. Barnett, who is a former NFL player and is now a therapist. And my friend Lamon Rucker, who I'm sure is one of your friends.
Lamon,
they have a tour called Just Heal Bro. Mm-hmm. And they go into major cities and host these intimate conversations for Black men and Black boys. And it's just such a beautiful thing to see that our Black men are finally embracing all sides of their feelings, right?
Yes.
And not suppressing any of it. Mm-hmm. And they're not, you know, using it as a sign of weakness, right? They're actually looking at it as one of their superpowers, right? And so I love that. And I think we're seeing a lot of transformation in a positive way, and hopefully people in our communities, especially in our athletes and entertainers, will continue to use their voices for good and let people know that it's okay to have a vulnerable side, right?
It is.
And more importantly, to get the help that you need.
Right.
We don't want you to just open up those feelings and sit with them. Mm-hmm. Sit with them with a therapist, right? Go sit on somebody's couch
and get some help.
And get some help.
Yes,
absolutely. It's a beautiful thing.
Your life has so much purpose, Shanti.
Oh,
and I'm just so grateful that you didn't let those urges get the best of you, because the world needs you.
Oh,
like, seriously.
Thank you.
With everything that you've been through, what do you want your legacy to be?
I just want people to always know that I care.
Yeah, I feel that. I do, every time around you.
I meet strangers all the time, Crystal. Yep. I just met a lady the other day. I'm running errands in the mall, and she was like, "Are you the lady from Silas and Shade?" And I said, "Yeah."
Yes.
She said, "Oh my God, I've been following you for 5 years.
Wow.
Since she was in graduate school, and now she has her own practice." She was like, "You were a big part of why I wanted to start my practice." I was like, "What?"
See.
And I mean, and then I was in the airport and ran into another lady, literally 6 a.m, waiting to get breakfast. You know, I had like the morning look on my face, tired, trying to pull it together.
Right.
And she, same thing. "Are you Shanti Dawes?" And she said, "Oh my God, can I just hug you?" And I was like, "Okay." And she was like, "No, you don't understand. You helped my family so much a couple years ago, because they had a family." And I try to, you know, people will DM me and I try to respond.
Mm-hmm.
We at Silence of Shame, we don't do direct services, but we try to push people to the resources.
Yes.
So if I can just continue to be a light, I thought I wanted my legacy to be Shanti Dawes, the music executive, but I want it to be Shanti Dawes, the health advocate, right? And just the human being. I want people to see me, and I want people to know I see them, and that I'm there to support them.
Well, guess what? I see you. I do, and I'm so, so proud of you.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that you made the pivot and the shift to do this, because you are making an incredible change on the world.
Thank you. It's all, again, God ordained, and now to be able to have my own personal thing with the Mevo show, I'm excited about that, because that podcast focuses on mental and physical health.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, being able to talk to hip-hop artist Eric Sermon about heart health,
yes,
which heart disease runs in my family, diabetes runs in my family, you know, I really want to just continue putting out so much information so that we can be our best selves physically and mentally.
I love that. Shanti, thank you. Thank you.
I love
thank
you, and I'm
so
proud of you.
No, thank you.
We didn't get to talk about how much I love you and so proud of you. Like,
this is about you today. Like, seriously, I wanted to spread the word and let people know what you're doing because it's so impactful. It means a lot to me and to our community. And a lot of people don't know where they can go. So I wanted to make sure that if they had a question, we got somewhere
you can
go.
Come on, they can come to my website, www.silenceashamed.com. We have a ton of free resources available. Mm-hmm. And we just want you to know that it's okay not being okay.
Yes.
Can we repeat something that I love that I say when I do talks?
Absolutely.
Okay. I am love.
I am love.
I am peace.
I am peace.
I am joy.
I am joy.
I am everything I need to be.
I am everything I need to be.
I am.
Am.
Enough.
Oof, enough. I love that.
As long as we know that we are enough in this crazy, crazy world, we'll be okay.
Yes, I love that.
Love you.
I love you. Thank you so much. We're going to get into one of my favorite parts is when the listeners write into us. It's called Positive Outcomes.
Okay.
And we give them advice.
Oh, I saw somebody. Yeah, I watched.
Yeah. Okay. And this one says, hello, Crystal. I'm 26 years old. Growing up, I've had many struggles with older men, and I've been sexually abused multiple times. Sometimes I really don't know where I am and what it is that I want. I often lose touch in my faith, and I get really depressed. My anxiety keeps me up at night if I don't find a way to drain myself to sleep. I have nightmares most of the time that keep me from having good days. I've talked about my struggles with my family and friends. I just don't see the use because I keep getting back into this place. I would love to get out of this cycle, but I just don't believe that I can do it. The only person who really knows what battle I deal with is my partner, who is my biggest supporter. I often try pushing him away so that he doesn't have to suffer from my constant anxiety and depression. I can't see a way out of this. A couple of times I've tried to end my life and just go away. Ooh, but I am still here and I do my best to find a purpose. I have no clue where to find it. I just got my own apartment and that's a huge accomplishment. Can you please give me advice to strengthen my heart and mind?
Ooh,
my goodness. First of all, thank you so much for writing in.
Yes, thank you.
I just opened up about this in season one about me as a child having suicidal thoughts and never speaking about it publicly because, you know, in the black family, you just don't talk about certain things, you know, and what happens in the house stays in the house. So certain things you just don't even talk about thoughts.
That's right.
So I know what this is like. Ooh, I would... say, first of all, I've being sexually abused multiple times, having issues with older men, that in itself is already
absolutely,
you know, creating a problem. That one, you have to deal with that first. And for me, therapy has really helped. And that's what I would say. I would definitely say go to therapy and start unpacking a lot of this because you have someone who loves you and supports you. You don't want to push him away, but it starts internally. And until you seek the help and get it and really heal from these things, you're going to continue to push this person away.
And there are so many wonderful organizations out there that help with victims that have been abused sexually. So I think you need to get someone who really understands the magnitude the scope of what you've been through, right? So get someone that is experienced in dealing with victims in that area. And I don't even like really using the word victim, so I probably would just say get someone who's experienced
in that area.
And the other thing too is when you're trying to find a therapist, I don't know if this listener is, you know, African American or another person of color or you know, white or non-Hispanic, whoever you are, try to find a therapist that worked for you. There are some really great organizations out there that ask a lot of questions. Like there's a website that I like called betterhelp.com. And of course, you know, I'm not a doctor, so always consult with your physician before you try to find a therapist. But there's some great resources out there. And betterhelp.com, they ask you a ton of questions, which is why I like it. And so you can really find someone to understand the nuances of your experiences. I also think finding a really good, if you are a person of faith. Mm-hmm. Find a good spiritual based home.
Yep, she did say she often loses touch in her faith. So she is
and
a
partner, and that's hard. But mm-hmm. I will say, for me, when I was in the valley of it, I remember going to Ebenezer like every other Sunday, mm-hmm. or and I go to church. Yeah. I'm one of them church girls. Yeah. Pastor will tell you she come to church when I'm not traveling.
Yeah.
But I say all that to say is it allowed me to be so vulnerable in church. And I remember going down to the altar for prayer calls and just crying uncontrollably. Yeah. And that's when I really knew that. But the tears were good, because mm-hmm. I felt like it was those tears of a breakthrough coming. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I had to let it out. And it was like a spiritual cleansing almost, that I was letting myself get it all out so that I could really get to a point where I could trust God and listen to him and know what I needed. Mm. So finding yourself a good, you know, counselor and advocate mm-hmm. from a physical abuse perspective is great. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you got to put your team together.
Yeah,
you need a spiritual counselor. You need a regular therapist or psychiatrist. I don't push medications on people, but I myself personally had to take, antidepressants. Mm-hmm. So that worked for me. So talk to your doctor about that and see if you're a right candidate for that. But then also getting accountability partners. I love that you let your partner in, but I'm hoping that you have a couple of other family members or girlfriends or male friends that will give you the grace that you need to help you. Because it is a lonely road of trying to heal on your own. And I tell people all the time, you know, we were born connected to our mother's yes. umbilical cord. Mm-hmm. So humans were meant to be connected.
Mm-hmm.
We came into this world
yeah.
with a level of connectivity. And so allow your tribe and your crew to love on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I call it my starting five. I say, who's in your starting five? Those are your accountability partners and people that are going to help you through those really tough times
yes.
in your life. So my prayer is that you allow yourself and pray and ask God to help you pull this tribe around you
yeah.
and your accountability partners and seeing the right doctors. It's not going to be easy, mm-mm. but with love and support and giving yourself the grace that you yeah. need to know that it's okay that what you've been through,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
It does not define you.
Mm.
It does not dictate what your future is going to be. And if you allow people in and open up and be a little bit vulnerable, it will allow you, hopefully, to get that help that you need.
Yeah. Thank
you. Even when you're in those darkest of places.
Yeah. That's so good. Yes. Definitely praying for you.
Yes.
And everything that Shanti said, I echo it, because I know you have more expertise and guidance in that area. That was really good advice.
Yeah. I couldn't do it by myself. I needed my pastor. I needed my sister.
Yeah.
I needed my girlfriends mm-hmm. who told me that my life mattered, yeah. you know, and my doctors who told me this is what you need.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we're going to do next what I'm going through and what I'm growing through.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. And sometimes for some people, it's the same thing. What yeah. they're going through, they're growing yeah. at the same time. Because some people are like, well, what am I? They're trying to figure out which one to say. Mm-hmm. But for me, as pertains to what we talked about today, I am constantly going through a process of evolving my mental health.
Okay.
I got into therapy this year.
Oh, good.
Denora helped me find an amazing
Yay!
Therapist. Finally, I feel like somebody, like you said, like you just told the young lady, find somebody that speaks to you, that understands
yeah.
you, what in your needs.
Yeah.
And for me, it was, I needed somebody who had been through some things, who could actually understand when I broke down everything that I had mm-hmm. been through, that mm-hmm. could help me through it.
Yeah.
So that right now I'm really just trying to evolve more, unpack more.
Okay.
I found myself opening up to Denora yesterday about something that I talked about in therapy that I didn't realize had happened to me
mm.
as a child, and just constantly learning new things and realizing, okay, this is another reason why I may be like this as an adult.
Do you find that something like triggered you at times, maybe taking you back to that point?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yes.
That's how you know it's working.
Yes,
because you're starting to notice little things that can trigger things,
mm-hmm.
and you know that's what you need to open up and talk a little bit more about.
Yes,
so you can kind of learn how to process it better.
Every time I'm triggered, then I'll tell her, and she mm-hmm. goes, "Okay, this let's figure out where this
yeah.
is really coming
yeah.
from."
I'm like, that's right. That's
yeah.
good though.
Yeah.
That's positive.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going through and growing through.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thanks. What about you?
Oh gosh. So I'm still going through the loss of my sister and my
yeah.
mother. I have some days that I can just go outside and have a wonderful day and go hang with friends. And then I have some days and it can be sunny and I don't want to open up my blinds. Mm. And that's when I realized I still have to seek therapy.
Yeah.
I was seeing therapy, my therapist rather, for probably a good 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I hadn't seen her for about 6 months and I'm now back in therapy.
Okay, good.
Because for some reason, this year, my sister's birthday hit me really hard. Mm-hmm. And I talk about her constantly all the time. And I try not to talk to my family so much about it because everybody has their own healing process.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm still struggling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I lost my best friend.
Yes.
My big sister.
And she got it.
She got it, everything in my life. Mm-hmm. And my mother, you know, is still mom, even though she had Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, I feel triggered sometimes. Like, I was at the store the other day, and I saw a lady walking with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom was probably in her late 80s,
yeah,
holding the door for her. But, like, I would take my mom to get her nails done. And,
yeah,
you know, we had our things that we did. And the holidays make it really tough for me. So, you know, I am still going through and then growing through the fact that they are in a better place, that they left so much wonderful knowledge and instill so much in me that makes me the woman that I am today. I feel like from a spiritual perspective, like how there's the Holy Spirit, right? There's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's my mom, their sister, and there's me.
Yes.
And that makes it complete for me. So I try to every day pull from a little bit from my sister, a little bit from my mom, and stay true to who I am. And that makes me the complete woman that I am today. So I'm growing through the loss of them. I'm going through the loss of them, rather, and growing through just knowing that I still represent them.
You do. And I know they're proud of you.
And that I can keep their legacies going on, too.
That's amazing. So, so good.
Thank you.
So we end the show with Keep It Blank, Sweetie. And I will say for this one, keep it real, sweetie. Because when you're real with yourself, you understand where you need help. Because sometimes we can be in denial. So I'll say keep 100%. It real, sweetie.
I was thinking about that too. That's a good one.
Yep.
I would say keep it transparent, sweetie.
That's good.
Because when you are not transparent with yourself and with your friends, you know, sometimes it causes us to, again, go back to, going back to compartmentalizing certain things and not dealing with things. But when you're transparent with yourself and the people that you love, you put it all out on the table, right? And you're able to deal with things and process things in an effective manner and get the help that you need.
That's
real. What leads to, you know, getting help or seeing a therapist. But, you know, you got to be real to your point. You got to be real with yourself and transparent and know what your needs are.
Exactly.
Because if we keep trying to fight it, we'll never get the help that we
need. We won't. That's so true. Yeah.
So look in that mirror and talk to yourself every morning and be transparent about what your needs are.
That's so good. Shanti, you have been a blessing.
I love you.
Tearing up a few
you
times.
You are the blessing. I tried not to break down. I was like, let me not do the ugly cry.
If you had to start, I was already over here like, eyes getting real moist now. Denora over there like. No, but thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I have a gift for you. Oh, you already got my book.
Yes. So excited. Thank you.
And then, you know, we love you at Silence to Shame.
Oh,
so
thank
I know
you.
Look, she has so many wonderful hairstyles.
Listen,
if you do rock your
hat.
And then we got your t-shirt.
Oh, she cute.
Oh, she cute. Oh, I love it. And then a shirt.
Oh, thank you.
That you can make your own.
Yes.
Oh, a little lint, sorry.
That's okay. Thank you so much.
And so May 5th is National Silence to Shame Day, so hopefully we'll be doing some stuff together.
Yes, I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Keep It Positive, Sweetie. If you want to write into our Positive Outcomes open listener letter, you can write into keepitpositivesweetie@gmail.com. That's sweetie with an I-E. You can follow Kips on all platforms at Keep It Positive, Sweetie. And you can follow me on all platforms at Love Crystal Renee, and that's LuvCrystal. I want to make sure that I shout out Shanti. She has Silencing My Shame, this book that you need to get. And also, if you are into the entertainment industry or trying to figure out how to get into it, you can read The Hip Hop Professional 2.0. Make sure you get both of these. Shanti, let the people know where they can find you.
Yes, you can follow me on, I'm pretty much only on Instagram these days, at ShantiDas404. And you can get my books on my website at www.shantidas.biz. And then you can follow my organization, Silence of Shame, at Silence of Shame. And then we have an app coming out with Microsoft.
All right. Yes. I know that's, come on.
Yes.
That's
we
huge.
Have so many great things that we're doing, just trying to provide free resources yes. to the community. So the app is coming, but for now, just visit our website. And if you want to donate to our little organization,
yes.
you can do that as well on silenceofshame.com.
I love it. All right, guys. Get these. Thank you so much for tuning in. In the meantime, in between time, keep it positive, sweetie. And as Shanti said, you are enough. We are enough.
We are enough.
Yes. Love you guys. Have a blessed week.
Father God, we thank you so much for this moment. We thank you so much for getting Shanti here safely, Father.
Yes.
I just pray, Lord, that you speak through Shanti and Crystal, Father God. Guide their tongue, guide their hearts, guide their souls as they speak on this platform, Lord. And for
yes,
those
God.
That will hear everything that they have to share, Father God, we pray that they will hear a word that will transform them, Father God, that will transcend them, Father
yes.
God, that will open up their ears, hearts, and minds to whatever you want them to receive, Lord. We love you and we honor you. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.